You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. So just like you, he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions of the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion and frankly some of it may be utter nonsense. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 348 or 348. It's a weekend podcast, so I'm joined by two fellas who thinks they're ladies, and they're going through the change, which is nice. It's all there. It's Peterina and Stefiana.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, the voice boxes need changing, lads, because you still sound like fellas to me.
Yeah, I need to make some money on the shares before I can get the op.
Yeah, yeah. How's the week been? I've got to say, last week we went horse racing, Pete and I and some of the friends there from Wales, who were a pain. I got soaking wet on the train home by egg of a mate banging, sort of drink everywhere. That got on my nerves. But I didn't do too badly on the horses. I got each way in the first race, and I won two other horse races. So I was quite. So I sort of broke even, really. Steve, how did you do?
Yeah, I only won one race, so I was overall down on
you
the day.
You won one race. What about your horse? I did see you running like crazy at one point across the horse.
That didn't help.
Yeah. So, yeah, so there we are. And, Peter, how was your really odd orchestral charity family do? Wow. That puts you in a weird family, really, doesn't it, really? It does, isn't it?
It was just, yeah.
Did you play the flute, Pete?
Yes, Stephen.
What kind of odd family do you belong to when you go to a charity orchestral sort of concert in the country?
Yeah, I think you're painting a slightly odd picture there. But
I'm imagining you dressed as Peter Pan as well for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay, Steve. Yeah.
What was it about, Pete?
My parents lived down near Exeter, and they went to this thing last year, and so they said, go again, and I was like, yeah, I'll come along, and they invited me along. And
you really are the loose end, and you could go out gambling and drinking with the friends.
Well, yeah, but
you decided between the two to go with your parents to an orchestral evening.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that the way your life is going?
Yes. No, that was organised before. I hadn't checked the dates, and I forgot about the racing. I know I normally go to the racing.
Yeah, but check the dates, yeah, because it happens once a year.
I know.
It's only once a year it is.
Yeah.
You know, you can get too much. Next year, I'm going to catch the train from Southampton. I'm not going to get the train back to Cardiff and all that with the maniac friends I've got. They're just obsessed with drink and go over the top.
Yeah, you see, I'm getting the feeling you don't enjoy it.
I don't mind the chat beforehand and a couple of things gambling. It goes on too long. I'm getting too old for all dayers. We started drinking 10:30. You know, yeah. Guinness as normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
do you know what would improve the day, I reckon, is if we just stayed in our own rounds and I could drink at my own pace. I think a lot of the time I just ended up drinking faster than I need to drink.
Yeah.
The podcast listeners will be loving this, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're into that inhalation through the nose, Steve, after a sentence, aren't you? At my own pace.
No,
I can imagine you shaking your head from side to side. Like, oh, yeah.
I think it's my finger rubbing on the microphone, actually.
Well, what? All right. Okay, so anyway, let's get to stocks and shares this week. It's been a very entertaining week, I think. So we got, you know, news out from New World Oil and Gas at last. And we were saying, you know, we were in that for a little punt. And it shot up, you know, at one point. I think it was probably about 70-odd% up from where I bought. And I did descale a little bit and de-risk. Because I'm scaling into other stocks like Asia Met and Audio Boom. And so I took money from New World Oil as it was going up and put some more in there or put limit orders on those stocks. And so I've got a massive holding there now. I think about $3,000-$4,000. I think about $5,000 in New World Oil and Gas. But it's come back, hasn't it? It's down. Well, it's, in fact, it's not all the way back now. It's about 0.8 pence. So it's up from where I bought. But Steve, you had a bit of cash in there and
didn't do that? Anything.
Yeah.
That's why he's got flames coming out of his nostrils. He's angry, you see. I should have sold.
When it I have had a bit of a kind of talking to myself and having a word with myself today, actually, about that.
No, but I know. But Steve, don't worry, because listen, the old, you know, cliche there, buy on rumour, and everyone did and started ramping up. The day of that AGM, the rumours came out, started going up by 20-odd%, I think it was, and the day after when it sort of signed and emotions sort of passed kind of thing, you know, it went up again by, I think, about 30%, so it was up quite well. And then the confirmation of everything was passed and all that stuff, and it came back down, came off. That's people flipping the stock, you know, trying to earn a quick bit of profit, you know, and that's a. But listen, you know, it will go up because hopefully I've got Adam Reynolds coming on the podcast, and Nickley Adam Reynolds. Listen to the podcast Friday with Doc. He knows a lot about these guys, and they're very impressive characters. They've got connections, they can bring assets in. And they can raise the game, you know, of New World Oil and Gas, hopefully. And But Pete, you wanted to ask a question about that, didn't you?
Well, no. Just before that, I was going to say it's a good example, isn't it, of going into a stock and like having a plan of what you want to do. So if you're in it for the longer term, you shouldn't worry that it's gone up and then come back down because you're in for the longer story. Whereas if your intention this week was to just trade some stock on the back of some good news, then you kind of need to have that plan, don't you? You need to go, right, it will spike probably if the news is good, if the AGM sorts itself out and Adam Reynolds comes on board. So you kind of have that plan to do that on the day. Is that, you know, that's the way I'm reading it. Yeah. Whereas with a longer term plan, you wouldn't worry. You go, oh, that's nice, I've gone shooting up, you know, but then, I know it'll come back down a bit. But then the longer term, I'm going to be, you know, it's going to be a good position to be in.
Yeah, and
that makes sense. So what I'm saying is, Steve, don't beat yourself up. If your intention is to be in this for the long term, don't beat yourself up. If, on the other hand, your intention was to earn a quick buck, then yeah, you haven't quite
beat yourself up, Steve. Anyway,
beat yourself up.
Yeah.
But breathe in really deeply through your nose.
Yeah, but if you look at the chart there, right, you're scrolling, you can put a line now, an upward sloping line. So you've got a series of higher lows. You know, so it is gradually the trend lines are going upwards. So it's a nice trend there. I mean, what Doc did on Friday, he was quite clever, Doc. He held about 50 million shares in New Oil and Gas. And they peaked up, and he sold some at 0.12, I think. And he sold a bit more at 0.1. And then it's come back now yesterday, like on Friday. And he bought some more then, because that was the bottom of the trading range. You know, if you look at the trend level going up, it touched the bottom of the trading range. He bought some more. So he has a core holding, and he's also trading within that holding, you know? So buying, selling at the top, you know, buying at the bottom again. So, but yes, now, you know, you're talking about, is it overvalued? If you look at assets, pretty much yes, you know.
Yes. And so that was my question, was...
Ask the question, Peter. The man at the back with the big ears and the funny nose, yeah, and the smelly breath. Go on, yes. Peter, that's you.
Steve.
Second question. I'd love it on question time if you did that. Yes, yeah. The man with the pug face, the ugly fellow in the middle. Yes, yeah. Sit next to the fat lady with the horrible hair. Yes. Wouldn't that be good on question time if you did that?
Be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, going off on a tangent, did you...
Yes, the simpleton there with the big ears. Go on.
Steve. did you see, this is a tangent, did you see the camp man,
yes, go on.
Did you see Andrew Neil's opening into the This Week programme on Thursday night?
No.
Okay, you should watch that. It's quite incredible. He calls IS Islamic scumbags, and yeah, it's an amazing thing. Anyway, sorry, that was on the back of the question.
Yeah, well, do you know what I think, a bit of a rant here.
Yeah.
IS guys out there, you know, with guns, shooting people unarmed in the streets. I mean, they're absolute cowardly scum, aren't they? I mean, they're not soldiers. Anyone can go out there and shoot people in a concert. Oh, yeah, big men. Amazing, you know? I think if you want to fight, you know, take it up with our SAS guys or special forces. If you're soldiers of the, you know, Islamic State and you think you're up to it, and we've seen videos of you training, go on, go hand-to-hand with some SAS guys, yeah? Don't go on the streets of Paris shooting innocent people. Anyway, because they're probably not listening to the podcast, to be honest.
Well, I don't know. They might be well into it.
How can you be proud of doing something like that? It's the lowest of the low, isn't it? Anyway, yes. Back to stocks and shares.
Sorry, anyway. So net asset value is what I was going to ask you about, because I was looking with the New World Oil and Gas, where you get that sort of momentum flies up, so the share price flies up, and obviously that is overpriced then probably for what the actual value of that company is, the market cap of that company. But how do you know that? How do you measure how overvalued it is? Or
well, yes, but shares are all about right what they're going to do in the future. Pretty much a company, you know, you could have a rubbish set of figures, but if the outlook in the trading statement is, but we have a very strong order book, or, you know, we have something happening that's very exciting, or we got a couple of orders coming in into China, that will raise the share price, you know? With New World Oil and Gas, you've got two guys coming on board who've got, you know, proven track record. So that is an intangible asset, really, that they're bringing in, their expertise, their connections, which you can't put a price on, and who knows what they're bringing into the company. And like I said, they want to take the company to a 20 million market cap, probably more than that. And if you look at Adam Rose's track record, you can't put a price on that. You don't know what they're going to do with it. So essentially, you could say right now it's pretty much the cheapest you're going to get it, because yes, cash and tangible assets are probably worth about 0.7, some of that 0.07. But you know, when you bring these guys on board, who knows what you can do? You know, so there is a bit of an intangible asset there that you could say is not priced in yet, because once they announce deals, then it'll shoot up again. Yeah. And they will announce deals. So people are... I mean, there's a lot of traders out there, obviously, who make money on a daily basis, and they're in this, and they want to flip they've got a limited amount of money to work with, so they want to flip the stock for a quick profit, and then get out, and then maybe get back in, you know? So they're not long-term holders. So people are doing that. They see the spike and get out. But, you know, who knows the potential of Adam Reynolds and Nick Lee, what they'll bring to this business. It's got a bit of cash, and they've got lots of connections in the city. They can raise more money, and who knows? You know, it could be the next big thing. You never know. And this could be one of, you know, if you hold on to this now, it could be one of the best stocks you've ever had in your life. And this is probably the cheapest you'll ever get it at as well. So, because you can see there's a support level, not far off a support level, like we're 0.08, and the support level, and even cash level is like 0.07. It's not far off what it's actually worth without anyone there. If they just took the company apart and sold it all off, the assets in Belize, you know, the cash, it's worth that anyway. So they haven't really priced in these two guys coming on board or what the potential is. So yeah, there's net tangible assets, yes, but there's intangible assets which you could argue are worth a lot more, you know. You're not ashamed?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a perception thing, isn't it?
So you are sort of valuing you know, Fugazi. You know what Fugazi is?
Yeah, exactly,
is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a word.
I suppose, it does come down to what your intention is. If your intention is just to flip it and just earn some money, like, you take a bit of a gamble, really, because you're hoping the AGM pans out as it did, and then you just sell at what you think is a top or near a top or whatever, and then you make some money. But if you're in it for the longer term, it's obviously about buying it at the right price and sort of, sitting in there. So basically, Steve shouldn't worry if he's in there for the next, you know, couple of years or whatever. He's fine, isn't he?
Yeah, Steve, are you worried?
A little bit, but no, I'm not worried. I'm just a little bit disappointed that I could have made a couple of grand.
I've been in that position It sounds like I'm a really seasoned trader. I'm not, but it's annoying where you go, oh wow, that's gone up nicely, and then you go, oh, and it's, that's all disappeared. And it's like, oh, that's annoying.
It's weird, isn't it? It's not money I've lost because it's only profit, but at the same time, you do kind of look back and go, I could have an extra in my bank now. But instead, I decided to be greedy and see if it would go up anymore, and it went down.
That's it. Yeah, it's greed, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's where scaling in and out is. I talked with Doc, actually. He's very clever on the psychology of trading. He said it's always easier to scale in and scale out, especially because if you sell out completely, psychologically it's harder to buy back in because you're out. And you know, you think, we're going to get back in. I don't want to go back in and go down again. I made money. So if you scale in and out, you know, scale we're at the top of the trading range, scale out a bit, and then it comes down, scale back in. Because, you know, it's keeping your toe in the water there. Just check the temperature. Imagine a swimming pool. This is an analogy.
You should have a feature. Justin's analogy.
Analogy of the week.
Analogy of the week. I'm looking forward to this one. A swimming pool. Right,
go. Imagine a swimming pool with a thermostat there that's going to turn on and off, you know, cold and hot. So what you do is, it's the right temperature, you think, and that's basically where you think, you know, this share price is cheap. So you jump in. Oh, that's nice. And you think, turn the temperature up. Oh, it's going to be warmer. Oh, nice. No, in fact, let's start again. So you jump in. You go, oh, it's a little bit cold, but I can handle this. You know, nothing's happening at the moment. It's a little cold. I can handle it and deal with it. Oh, it's a bit chilly. And then it starts getting warmer. Yeah, this is nice. Oh, this is nice. Come on. They really pump up the heat. Oh, it's too hot. So you jump out. That's scaling out, yeah? But you keep your foot just in the edge there, just touching the foot, just to keep the
scald your toes.
Yeah, just to touching the water there. That's gonna, and then they turn the temperature back down. So, right, jump back in now. Yeah. But if you'd walked out, you know, got the changing rooms,
right,
and then dried yourself off, and then someone says, it's okay now. The temperature, you know, the swimming pool's back to normal temperature. You think, well, do you know what? I've been in anyway. I don't want to get back in again.
I've got a verruca now.
I've got a verruca. My trunks are off.
Yeah.
You know, I'm drying my genitals and all that. I'm ready to go. I'm putting talcum powder on. I'm putting lots of talcum powder on. Yeah. I don't want to waste that talc.
That's it. I'm out. Sort of thing. Yeah.
That's it. I'm out. I haven't scaled. I haven't. I'm not there checking the temperature of that. So. But when you're in a stock like that, you pay more attention to it. That's what I'm saying. And so you look at the support levels more. So it's always maybe, you know.
Can I say, though, you have changed. Like, it would have been a bathtub a couple of years ago, but now you're talking swimming pools.
Yeah.
Blimey. Okay.
Anyway, that's New World Oil and Gas, anyway. So what else? ADSS, I had the CEO on the podcast, Carl Asprey. And they released good news, but trouble is, it's too far down the line. So they've gone from, you know, the traditional business is a support service to the oil and gas sector in Kenya. That's contracting, and so they've sort of diversified away into Ethiopia, which is apparently the GDP is expanding quickly, and its economy doing very well, and they've gone into the consumer products, and they're going to build this bottling factory, and they said there's one thing that's lacking in this country.
Yeah, I heard.
They import all their bottles. So, so that's going to happen. They're going to produce 105 million bottles a year, apparently, and earn about 31 million a year revenue off that. And that's not including other contracts they've got, but they haven't announced other contracts. And so what they need to do is announce the other contracts, because they did say they're going to do a placing very soon. So, that, you know, people are just worried that placing is going to dilute the shares. And it will, because it's almost double the size of the shares in issue at the moment. So they need, and I think they will have several contracts coming up, but they need to announce those now, you know, short term. In fact, they should have gone with maybe some smaller contracts that they're starting up in the medium term, short term, and then announce the big one in 2 years time, because I think, you know, people just think, well, that's 2 years away. You know, but it's good to see that they've diversified away from the contraction of Kenya, and they're sorting the business out. But that's a long timeline for anyone investing, you know. So I don't know.
What are your thoughts with your £1 million punt experiment?
Yeah, I have no doubt, because I bought it at a half decent price, 8.7, I think it was. It will double, but it's just a timescale. I hope, though, it will be within. I honestly believe in the first quarter of 2016, it'll double. Because I do think they'll have several contracts coming out, because they're in joint partnership with this Orchid business group, which are quite big, 2,000 employees, in Ethiopia, and they are one of the biggest businesses in Ethiopia there with in construction. So I think they will have plenty of contracts coming up. It's just the moment it's dull as flat, and so
it's gone down to 0.5, isn't it?
Yeah, crappy.
Yeah,
good time to buy.
Part of me wants to buy more, but I thought, I haven't got a lot of spare cash really up there. And
the thing is, as well, there are other opportunities that you look at that are probably better, aren't they?
So I think short term, like I said, I had Tony Manini.
I know, I heard
on the podcast. I got up at 4:30 in the morning because he's in Melbourne, Australia. Yeah, look, mate. Yeah, look.
Look.
Yeah, look. Justin. So I had in the podcast, and there's no doubt this company, I think, but there's obviously a doubt, but I genuinely feel very confident that over the next 2-3 years, this will be a easy 10 bagger, easy.
Do your own research.
Do your own research. But I mean, he's quite frustrated that he realizes he has the infrastructure, the ability, and the assets to turn this into a multi-hundred-million dollar company or pound company, and even close towards a billion, or even topping a billion. But yet the price isn't reflecting it because at the moment the market's hard working. Nothing's moving. The small cap market is hard. It's just grinding lower pretty much every day. Yeah. And so even with good news, nothing's reacting. But like I said, there isn't really official, economics talking about true, but you've got to go do this PEA to formalise it, so it's out there and it says, right, this is what, financially this asset will be worth.
Yeah.
And once that hits the ground, hits early 2016, I think it is, 2016, then that will, the price will re-rate. But at the moment, I think if you have spare cash, it's time to put little limit orders on at the support levels at something like Asia Met. And just that's what I'm doing. Just keep adding a little bit.
Because I was going to say, like, if they're grinding lower all the time, it's very difficult, isn't it, to actually pick a price that you kind of go. But I can see support levels. But even then, some of these stocks we're talking about have gone then below those levels. And who knows what the future holds? But you can think one day that you've got a good price, and then actually, I don't know, a week later you're looking at it again. I should have waited.
Yeah, but if you look at Asia Met, then look at a year chart, pretty much. It's in a range between 1.8 and 1.2. So if it gets down to 1.2 there, in fact, the placing with Tony's friends was like at 1.4. They bought that, and that was discount. A little bit of discount, not a lot. But so you can buy it at that price pretty much now. It's 1.45, I think. So it's dipping. Yeah. So anytime it dips below that, you're getting a better deal than Tony's billionaire friends. There's two billionaires in there. And there's several multi-millionaires have bought at that level.
Yeah.
And so, you can do it at that level. You can get a better deal than his friends. You're in the circle.
I was disappointed you didn't do your impression of him to him.
Yeah, I think it'd be a bit odd because he's Australian and I'm doing like an American.
I know.
Oh, Tony, how are you doing?
It kind of destroys it. Like, I listen to the other weekend. Yeah, Tony. Yeah. And then he comes on and he's like,
that's right, Justin, you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. I have to say, your impression of him is far more exciting.
Yeah, but, and I also think, honestly, audio boom, I don't keep banging on about this, but did you hear Smudge Dan on the podcast? He was on Thursday, now 21 minutes, scroll in 21 minutes, yes, I highly recommend you listen to that. Steve, did you listen to that?
Do you know what? I've not listened to any of your podcasts this week. I've been a little bit busy. Oh, sorry.
Steve, go on, get the knife out, fella. Stab me right in the heart there, that was.
Yeah. I'll catch up on them over the weekend.
I bet you will, yeah.
I've listened to every single one, Justin, sometimes three times.
Well, I definitely listened to Smudge Dan there. I mean, I listen to all of them, Steve, but if you're going to prioritise, then scroll into 21 minutes of Thursday's podcast. Smudge Dan.
No, tell a lie. No, I listened to your Tuesday podcast. I apologise. I did listen to one.
You watched it,
I watched it, yeah.
But Dan there, he was training for a while, and again, he had to find a technique he was good, happy with, because he lost a bit of money. And he started off with, he's up 12 months ago, basically, at 40 grand, right? And he's now at a 1,300% return on that 40 grand.
Yeah, he was impressive, wasn't it?
And he owns, like, yeah, he owns 4% of Box Hill Technologies, which is a company which is about 5 million market cap. So if you do the math on that, 10% is what, 500,000, isn't it? So 250, yeah. So he's got about 200 grand in that one company. He's got 3% of another company, pretty much. So, and he said, I put it down to sticking with things I know and focusing on very few stocks. And, you know, really reading all about them and knowing everything about them, but going big on stocks that I know very well. Because I think it's very hard. I keep saying this, you know, to keep an eye on stocks.
He has a full-time job. So, that's what I was impressed with. He actually, obviously, he's been very clinical, hasn't he, in the way he's been investing. Which, it's well worth listening to, Steve. That's Thursday's one.
I will definitely listen to it in the gym this week.
And also listen to Mad Stork. I think that was Tuesday, and talking about his biggest loss, and that was quite, you know.
I did hear that one.
Impressive. I heard that one. Yeah, that was quite eye-watering.
Mm. I know. But even recently, he's had a bit of he tweeted a load of trades he'd done and daily money he'd made. Mm. And then it was quite good. Grand here, $2,000 there. You know, maybe Intergrid loss here, about $3,000 up here, $4,000. All of a sudden, minus $28,000.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was Paragon Entertainment, which he's a big holder in.
Yes.
And I quite like those. They're on my short list there. Because the turnover is fantastic. You know the turnover? Mm. The turnover, like, for the half year, 4.5 million or something. You know,
aren't they Peppa Pig or something?
No, they do all different. It's hard to say. They design and create pieces for like theme parks and toy stores, you know, and they license out stuff like that. And, it's a one-off creations, basically. I reckon it could be 10 million plus of revenue this year, and yet they're still making a bit of a loss. But yet they're only valued at 3.8 million market cap. And you think, what? So, yes, they've got some, fixed costs, which apparently are going to be cut this year a bit, and they're going to go into a bigger profit. And you think, surely that's very undervalued. But they had a bit of a scary trading update. They did say they're delaying on some projects, and the share price went down by 30-odd% in one day, and that was that $28,000 he lost. And but he still bought in. Like, he was on the podcast after that. He bought in more. He said, I believe in the company, and that's the kind of thing. If you really know about a company, yes, it's a bit scary when that happens.
Yeah.
But if you know it and you know what's coming, and you've read and you've spoken, he often speaks with the CEO, and you're quite confident of saying, well, do you know what? If I hadn't had that money in there, would I have bought now? You think, yes.
Yes.
So why not buy now? You know, why not buy now? Yeah. Like, it's cheaper as it is in the chips now. I bought that actually, and I was up, and I couple hundred quid, and I sold because I had too many stocks. That's one of the stocks. But now, looking back, I think I may go back in there because they're on about £2, I think, a share. But they're a good company. And Box Hill, good company to look at, I think. So it's good having, you know, guys like that on, because they do a huge amount of research.
Yeah.
And I've been reading about, you know, Paragon and Box Hill today, actually.
But on that, I was thinking that when I was listening to those guys, actually, about research. Like, how much research, or where can you get the research from, if that's not a stupid question? I mean,
well, I just think you look at the, if you look at the, you know, you can, I mean, basically, look, I look at cash flow and the balance sheet. It's not, you know, look at the turnover, if there's any, look at the assets, and just work out how much is, why is this company, I mean, let's be honest, if they turn it over, you know, 10 million, right, and even a modest 10% operating margin, that's a million, right? They've got a bit of cash, actually. But that's a million. That's pretty much a quarter. I think there's about 3.8 or 2, 4 million market gap. So it's a quarter of their overall value in 1 year. And so, you know, just of the profit. And so you think, hang on, that's a P4, you know, which is, they're very undervalued. And considering, apparently, if you read, they are picking up more and more projects, you know, and you think, well, they're getting their act together here. And so you think right now, it's probably a matter of time, you know, before they start.
But other than that, looking at that kind of data, I mean, there's only so much that a company releases into the public domain about what's going on. And generally, they control it, don't they? So it's a always try to be as positive as possible. So when you're doing research into a company, I don't know, how much can you actually find out about it?
But how much? I mean, I have to read a report about 3, 4, 5 times before it sinks in, and I start reading and reading again, and keep looking at...
What language is that?
Yeah, I know. Always look at the market cap all the time, and look at what they're doing, look what they've got, you know, and do basic maths, you know, and I think you can do it. You just... get a piece of paper, a pen, or you know, or but, computer. So
market cap. You're looking at the total volume of shares times the current share price, whatever that gives them the market cap. But in terms of a level of value, trying to work out what the value is compared to what they've got in terms of assets and potential and whatever.
So I mean, you know, they are improving about it. If they do, that level in 4 years, they've paid for the company. And, you know, normally. A P4 is very undervalued, or people don't believe they'll achieve it. Now, if you look, they're going through some transformational deals here, and they're doing things that their order book is improving, and you realise they're starting to take off, you're getting more and more contracts, then you can read that. I mean, you look at a lot, and it's always important, I think, to read back about, last 2 years, just look at the interims and the... most important, the full year, end of year trading statements, and any trading statement, just read it and see how it changes. And if you read it a couple of times, you will notice, wow, they are getting more contracts. You've got this contract, that contract, this contract. And you will notice it, and you think, well, look at the revenue of that. Just add, so, look at they often say, how much the contracts are worth.
Yeah,
okay. And so you can put that together and think, well, that's that, okay.
But I suppose also, and I haven't really thought about this, is you can read those trading statements and then you can see then the later ones if they were telling the truth. And, if they're consistent in what they're predicting and their predictions come true, you kind of think that they're actually, well, potentially, they might be more honourable and honest than perhaps some other companies. Is that true? I don't know.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you also have to get another company. Yeah, I think that you can tell. But yes, exactly. You can tell if a company's ever lied or changed something, then you think, do you know what? I wouldn't give them a second chance. It's like, if they've exaggerated or, accounting has changed in some way.
Think, well, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not doing that again. I'm not trusting you, ever again. Because if you do it once, what'll stop you doing it again?
Yeah,
so I wouldn't give any company's board of directors a second chance at all.
And I think it was Mad Stork that was saying, I can't remember the company, that there was one that...
Prudence Power Gen, yeah.
Yes, effectively, have done a placing, although they're not really saying... diluted the shares, but they're not really diluted.
They had an earnings per share target for the directors. And if they hit the earnings per share target, they'd get a lot of shares, right? But... part of their deal was a grant from the government because they were producing, power to the power grid. And you get a grant, apparently, if you could supply power to the power grid in some way. And apparently something had happened with that. It had either been reduced or the government stopped paying so much or weren't going to delay payments. So basically, they didn't hit the earnings per share target because the government grant wasn't as big or had been delayed. And they said, essentially... if it wasn't for that, we would have hit our earnings per share target. But we're awarding the directors these shares anyway.
Yeah.
And you say, well, hang on a sec. You haven't hit the earnings per share target you stated in the first place.
Yeah.
You have moved the goalposts, full stop. Mm. And I think that's quite disingenuous,
Yes.
I mean, you shouldn't be doing that. You can't, you can't say we're going to do this, and if we do, they'll get that. And they said, we haven't done it, but we'll do it anyway. What's the point of that? Nobody's setting targets.
Yeah, so that sort of thing, looking back over time, their credibility can be...
Yes. Okay. I've seen BHP Billiton talking about big stocks this week. There's a threat to the dividend, which has been around for 100 years, because they're in, like I said, they're in hell at the moment.
Yeah, they are.
Because they've got this catastrophe happened in San Marco, and where they've, they've
down... They even got a mention on the... on the main news, so it's a bad thing when that happens. Yeah,
and they're 50% owned by them and Vale. Vale is the biggest iron ore producer in the world. BHP Billiton is the biggest miner in the world. So, was it a billion or something? I don't know what it was. It's like they put aside a billion or something for I don't know what the figures were, but that along with the iron ore being smashed lower and the commodities, just everything, they're thinking, will this be the first time? It's a sacred cow to them, the dividend. But also the balance sheet is more important than just paying dividend willy-nilly. You can't just say, we're going to pay a dividend. We don't care if we skin it ourselves. But I think it'd be interesting to see what happens, because they're at a low level anyway. I think if they don't pay the dividend and they strengthen the balance sheet, maybe it'll go up anyway. You never know. But I think at the moment, BHP Billiton, I bought some, like I said, last week for my brother. I own some, but I'm deep underwater. I'm like 30% down on those.
Mm, yeah.
But I bought some of my brother at £8.80. I think they're up a little bit from that, I think. £8.85. Yeah, the five pence up. All right. So we are. Any other things, Steve, you want to chat about?
No, I think I'm done.
You've done a lot today, haven't you?
You haven't really said much, Steve.
No. Oh, you've been blubbering on.
Don't be shy, Steve.
Yeah. Go on.
Are you shy?
Yeah, I've got nothing to say on that matter, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to get to work anyway.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Are we working tonight, Steve?
In the gay bars.
All right. And are you, Steve? Are you courting it?
I'm not, no.
Are you, Peter?
No, and I wouldn't
That's
tell you.
That's a stupid question.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Steve.
What's going to happen with you two boys? Are you going to be old, lonely old men together?
I'm not lonely.
Sitting in your rocking chairs?
Yes. Hopefully.
It's a handy movement, rocking, when there's just two of you watching a couple of videos.
Right. What's going to happen to you? Much younger wife.
Yeah.
She'll
probably knock me off.
Right.
Get me done over, killed.
Oh, lucky you. Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
So, all right then. That's it for the podcast this week. Have a nice weekend.
What about the disclaimer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we don't need to do that anymore.
What?
No, I've got a new voiceover.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so it says all that.
Well, even for the weekend podcast?
I'm going to put it together now, and it should be on for the weekend.
Oh.
But Steve, just in case I don't, Steve.
Do your own research.
That's it, Steve. Okay. Well, in fact, do you know what I'm going to do next week, boys? I'm going to challenge you, right? Mm. Next week, we're going to have a new feature. I'm going to pick one stock you've got, and I want to tell you, I want you to give me three reasons why you bought it, right?
Oh, that's a good
one. Apart from saying, well, because you did. Because you recommended it on the podcast.
That's going to be a little bit tricky for me.
And in your end of research, you said, buy it, so I did.
No. No. I'll make
it. Right, so do that. Right, Steve, pick a stock of yours. Pick one now. And you've got a week to do the research. Steve?
Yeah?
What is going on here?
You said next week.
How many people call Steve? I said, Steve, pick a stock.
Oh, right, okay. I'll be for next week.
Pick one now. I know. It's odd when you end with the word Steve and you don't respond. What do you respond to? You, Steve. Come by. Oi.
Yes.
What can I pick? I'm going to pick Hagen Oil.
Hagen, you got that?
Hagen London Oil, yeah. Because they're particularly down and destroy my portfolio at the moment, so.
Okay, well, three reasons why you bought them, Steve, right?
Because you told me to.
Apart from that, do your own research. Don't just go on my blog and read it and see three reasons
why. I'll do some research and tell you.
Yeah, okay.
Three reasons. You told me to.
Yeah. Pete, what are you picking?
I'm going to go for Audio Boom.
Yeah, okay. And be a bit creative, yeah, Lance? Yeah, be a bit creative, just, you know.
What about the fact behind it?
You can't be creative. Yeah. It's surely all on fact of why you picked
Good point,
it.
Steve.
Yeah, well, you could sing it. No, I don't mean that. But, you know, okay, anyway, we'll do that, yeah? 3 points, right? So, Hague, London Oil and Gas, whatever it's called, HNL, and Audio Boom for Peter. Boom. Yeah? Check it out.
Mm.
At the end.
Who's that? Who's that?
I don't know.
Peter.
No, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions of the stocks they talk about. So please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion and frankly, some of it may be utter nonsense. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.